A reading from the letter of the blessed Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. I have no more to say, brethren, except this. Draw your strength from the Lord, from that mastery which his power supplies. You must wear all the weapons in God's armory if you would find strength to resist the cunning of the devil. It is not against flesh and blood that we enter the lists. We have to do with princedoms and powers, with those who have mastery of the world in these dark days, with malign influences and an order higher than ours. Take up all God's armor, then, so you will be able to stand your ground when the evil time comes and be found still on your feet when all the task is over. Stand fast, your loins girt with truth, the breastplate of justice fitted on, and your feet shod in readiness to publish the gospel of peace. With all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fire-tipped arrows of your wicked enemy. Make the helmet of salvation your own, and the sword of the Spirit, God's word. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus spoke this parable to his disciples. Here is an image of the kingdom of heaven. There was a king who resolved to enter into a reckoning with his servants, and had scarcely begun the reckoning when one was brought before him who was 10,000 talents in his debt. He had no means of making payment. Whereupon his master gave orders that he should be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, so that the debt should be paid. With that, the servant fell at his feet and said, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee in full." And his master, moved with pity for him, let the servant go and discharged him of the debt. So the servant went out and met a fellow servant of his who owed him 100 pieces of silver. Whereupon he caught hold of him and took him by the throat and said, "Pay all thou owest me." His fellow servant went down on his knees in entreaty. "Have patience with me," he said, "and I will pay thee in full." But the other refused. He went away and committed him to prison for such time as the debt was unpaid. The rest of the servants were full of indignation when they saw this done, and went in to tell their master what had happened. And so he was summoned by his master, who said to him, "I remitted all that debt of thine, thou wicked servant, at thy entreaty. Was it not thy duty to have mercy on thy fellow servant, as I had mercy on thee?" And his master, in anger, gave him over to be tortured until the debt was paid. It is thus that my heavenly Father will deal with you if brother does not forgive brother with all his heart. Thus far the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. And it is again, my sisters and brothers, a great pleasure to welcome Father Dilger with us. I can't bend my neck around that far and still keep touch of the microphone. So anyway, thank you so much for being here, brother. We love that you're here with us, and we cannot wait until you're able to be back up at the altar with us again. God bless you. Just a couple of quick announcements. And the first is, I've had more than one individual from among your number who's asked me to talk about the weirdness involving a statue in Rome and all of this. And all I will simply offer is this, two pieces of advice. First, I don't know enough about it, right? I know I've been to Bolivia. I studied there for 6 weeks, studying Spanish. I know the Quechua and the Aymara, the tribes that have this as a part of their culture. I don't know enough about it to make a judgment. And so, second piece of advice, I encourage you to ignore it, basically. That's what I do. I'm just ignoring it because it's not going to help anybody for me to get angry about it. I can't change anything about it. And, you know, the best thing to do with stupid stuff is to just ignore it, right? It's I hate to say it that way, but it's true. It's just stupid, right? Stupid stuff's not worth my time. It's not worth yours either. Your time is more valuable than that. The second quick announcement that I would like to make is that I will do, again, my level best to be here for confessions every week by 11 o'clock in the morning. I understand if you don't want to come that early to have your confession heard, but by about 11:40, I have to be getting out of the confessional to get ready for Holy Mass. there's not much I can do about that, right? I have to get ready to say Mass. And so if you do need to have your confession heard, please feel free to come. For those who perhaps are used to going to confession each week, I would just like to give you this small bit of advice. You know, the saints tell us that going to confession about once a month is a good idea. More often than that, we become a little neurotic and over-obsessed with our sins. Less than that, and our conscience starts to die away, right? So I would encourage you to come to confession about once a month. If you need to come more often, or if your confessor or spiritual director has told you to go more often, by all means, go more often. I don't want to contradict that person. But I am noticing that the same people, it seems, are always left in line waiting to have their confession heard when I come out. And we do have quite a few who like to go to confession every week. I'll just juxtapose those two facts and let you work it out for yourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On the subject of confession, we have this beautiful parable today, my sisters and brothers, about forgiveness. You see, the servant owed his master a debt, it says, of 10,000 talents. That's a reference, a measure of silver. A talent of silver is, you can look it up online, roughly about 70 pounds. So one talent of silver is 70 pounds worth of silver, and he owed his master 10,000 talents of silver. So he owed his master a debt of 70,000 pounds of silver. Now, scholars are generally of the agreement that there was not that much money in the whole world at the time that Jesus lived. So when the man in debt says, oh, be patient and I'll pay you back, it's, well, sure, right, you'll pay me back. There's not that much money literally in the whole world. How are you going to pay me back? Jesus is trying to tell us that with regard to our relationship with him, that when we break that relationship by sin, we create a debt, and an infinite debt, that we could never pay back. Each and every sin is an infinite debt to God, because it's an offense against an infinite God. The only way to have it forgiven, the only way to pay it back, so to speak, is by faith in Jesus Christ, by coming back and allowing God through his church, through his sacraments, through his grace, to transform you and to make you his. That's God's desire for you, is to make you his, after all. Now the question is, having been forgiven of an infinite debt, this servant in the gospel turns around and somebody owes him something so much smaller, and he demands repayment. He must be German, right? He's going to get his money back. And the master says, what is wrong with you? He can actually pay you back, right? It's a much smaller amount. So just be nice to the guy. Don't throw him in debtor's prison. My sisters and brothers, the offenses that are committed against us are real. If somebody has done evil to you, it's real evil. But it is also something that requires forgiveness. Forgiveness is a matter of justice, not of charity. But we often are confused about what forgiveness really is. I'll have people come to me in confession and talk about not being able to forgive someone. And I ask them, what do they mean? And they say, well, I just can't bring myself to forget. Well, you shouldn't forget, right? Let God do the forgetting. You need to remember. If somebody's done evil against you, you shouldn't trust them, right? You shouldn't have nice feelings about them. That's okay. They're not owed any of that. But they are owed forgiveness, even if they don't ask for it. Forgiveness is two things. Very simple. Hard to do, but very simple to remember. Forgiveness, first of all, means that whoever has harmed me, I do not actively hope that they actually miss out on heaven, right? I may say it with my voice, but I don't actually want them to go to hell. I want them to be in heaven. I want them to be in heaven with me, maybe on opposite sides of the kingdom, right? But I do want them to be in heaven with me. I don't want them to miss out on heavenly life. That's the first part of forgiveness. And the second is, if God chooses to bless that person in some way in this world, I will not stand in the way. I don't want to make it my business, and I pray that God does not make me the vessel of that blessing. But if God wants to bless that person, he's more than welcome to. I will not frustrate God's designs. That's it. That's forgiveness. If you've done that, and you still just, your face gets red and your teeth get clenched every time you think about this person, or you get very upset, very beside yourself, well, that's fine, right? I mean, there's other issues that need to be taken care of, but none that will endanger your soul. No, you never have to share a beer with that person again or have nice feelings about them. There are some people in this world you should never trust again. None of that has anything to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness is, if God wants to bless them, that's God's business and not mine, and I hope this person does go to heaven. That's it. Brother must forgive brother from the heart, Jesus says. We must forgive one another. Anything else is Christian charity and not required of us, though it's a good idea. If you're having a hard time actually forgiving for something that was done to you, my sisters and brothers, first, ask for the grace to forgive. Second, if you're still blaming yourself, well, ask for the grace to stop blaming yourself. You didn't cause the evil someone else did to you, and the evil was real. And finally, pray for the conversion of that individual. Pray for their salvation. They clearly need it, and God may, in fact, want you to be the person to pray for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.